This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ya orana to our Tahitian listeners who have taken the top of the mini games medal tally, and welcome everyone to Nijan Footy Fridays, the best spot for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name is Tinidau Aruna, and alongside me is my cuz and Nijan Footy's favourite 18th man, who has been filling in for my usual co-e, Sammy Wykes. Sammy is actually soaking up the sun in Palau, but I'd like to welcome him to the show. Tupo Supuanga.
Oh, kia rana, cuz. Good to be back, man. Good to be back here on the show.
Happy Friday, brother.
Happy Friday. You should just make me a permanent spot here.
Yeah, well, if Sammy keeps up these trips across the Pacific, we might just have to replace Sam's name at the start and just put your name there, bro.
No, oh, man. Shout out to all the Tahitian listeners. We got a bit of Tahitian in our blood, T. So good to see them at the top of the mini games battle. But also, T, if you didn't know, make sure that you're subscribing to our Nijan Footy podcast. Make sure you tell all your mates about it, because you know we got things to say.
We've had some big guests on our show over the last few years that we've been running Nijan Footy, and you'll be able to find them wherever you get your podcasts. What do we have on today's show, Toops?
Lots going on. Obviously, it's NRL Round 18 this weekend. Plenty of results. We got our man, King Kifu. Looking forward to hearing from him this weekend, talking about what's coming up in the Polynesian news across rugby union. And then we've got Sala Tongatuki.
Big Sala Tongatuki.
She's going to join us for Round 1 on the NRLW. Mate, I love hearing from her. She's always got the inside goss, inside scoop.
That's probably the big news in the rugby league world this week, is the NRLW will be kicking off round one. So Sala will dive deep into a couple games, and also the game last night, which I'll touch on shortly. I thought it was a great opener for our women's space, the Sharkies versus the Eels, and let's just get straight into it.
My name is Ali Kator, and I'm listening to Nijan Footy.
Well, Toots, before we do get into last night's game and the quick preview of this weekend coming up, other news, the PlayStation game, Rugby League 26, they have released some screenshots of the game.
They're drip feeding us.
First of all, what's your thoughts on the images that they've shared?
I think it's good. Yeah, they're drip feeding us a couple of images so far. We need a good game to come out. I think the people... The listeners.
I hope it's a good game, because some of those images.
It's from Wish.
Or Toy Story. Toy Story 1 looked a bit better than some of those images. And
it's not about the image, T. It's about the game itself. So I reckon the game's going to be good.
If you look at Jonah Lomu, which was one of my favorite games growing up, that Jonah Lomu game, you know, those images weren't that great, but the game itself was awesome, because you got to represent or you got to play and be, you know, some of those legends into the rugby union world back in them days. But what was your favourite memories when it comes to a PlayStation game?
I think, like everybody, it's the Rugby 08. Lots of people, you know, got a lot of good memories about that game. Obviously, you know, it's, 15 years since, or 17 years since then. So we need hopefully it drops like this. Hey, T, also, speaking on the back of this 26 NRL game, we were on the last game.
Well, that's probably one of my career highlights, being on a PlayStation game. You know, not everyone gets to say that. You get to be on a PlayStation game.
What was your rating? What was your rating overall?
I think it was higher than yours. That's all that
matters. No. I think mine was 82.
Mine was 86. I hope that all the kids do enjoy this PlayStation game, just like how we did when we were young.
Come on.
Now, last night, Toops, we seen the Eels take on the Cronulla Sharks in round one, NRLW, and the Eels, geez, they came out the blocks, started their season with a bang. One thing that I love about the Eels is their coach, Steve Georgialis.
Oh, Georgie.
Georgie.
Is Georgie the coach?
He's their head coach, and he was my under-20s Penrith Panthers coach, one of my favourite coaches.
Well, he was my coach too.
Where did he coach you?
Penrith.
At Penrith as well.
He's a great guy. Yeah, bro.
Just a legend.
He's living in Coogee. Living a good life.
I know that the girl, like, he would suit the NRLW as well. So it doesn't surprise me that the Eels
Came out strong,
but also have grown from last year's season. And they went on and beat the last year's grand finalists, the Cronulla Sharks, 18-16. Now, I'll start with the Sharks. I thought they probably got caught off guard a bit. They looked great in attack with strong carriage from their star centres, Tiana Pinatani-Gray and also Anessa Biddle. But defensively, I think they just lacked a bit of ruck control, which also impacts their line speed. With the Eels, geez, I thought they were led from the front by their PNG star, Elsie Albert. She just seems to be one of the dominant forces in the middle in every game that she's plays, and also when she represents the PNG Orchids.
It makes a big difference when you have a middle in the team, and it showed last night when she was, honestly, it looks so hard to bring her down, so well done to her.
The other girl who partnered her well in the middle was River Li'alo. Now, Kennedy Cherrington, she was out due to injury, but River Li, she was busy, she was strong, she also defended really well and partnered Elsie Albert in that middle. Now, I'm looking forward to when Kennedy comes back, because, geez, they'll have a solid pack in the middle there. But I thought also their right winger, Martha Mataele, and their right centre, Lindsay Tui, were both powerful with the ball in hand, the way that they carried. But then their kick chase, their efforts to chase the ball, and unfortunately, you know, the Fijian winger, Cassie Staples, a couple of times early in the match, she had to go up, try and catch it. And because the girls pressured her, you know, forced some errors that led to some points for the Sharks. But a great start for the Sharkies. I thought they looked fast out wide, strong in the middle. And then their halfback, Rachel Pearson, controlled the game and turned some of those moments into points. And, you know, it wasn't a surprise when she received the player of the match after last night's game. So great game to kick off round one NRLW. Now we also have round 18 in the NRL. A number of teams have a bye, so we've only got five games, but the one that stands out for me is my old club Roosters sitting at sixth place. They take on the Tigers at 14th place. Now, before I get to the game, there's been reports of the Tigers training. One of their halves, Adam Dewey, has gone up against Coach Benji Marshall in a training session. They've had a bit of a push and shove. Benji Marshall, he retired not too long ago, so
he's still got it.
He jumps in those training sessions when he'll go up against the starting team and he'll play halfback for the Reggies, and he probably, you know, skittles them a lot of the times because he's still got it.
Yeah, because basically what's happened is that there's reports that's come out that Benji has overstepped the mark, which is basically saying Benji's carving up their current team as a coach. You're supposed to coach as a coach.
When you are going at it at training, yeah, things can get heated, which leads to my question, Toops. Has there ever been a moment in your career where you've probably got a bit too emotional? I've actually seen this a couple of times. Too emotional and let it get to you, and you've had a bit of a push and shove with your own teammate.
I have, unfortunately, even though I'm such a calm guy, you know what I mean?
No, you're not. I've seen you crack that many times, bro.
It has happened to me. I'll never forget. I was at the Sharks, right? And one of the older guys, I'll name him, because everyone knows him.
Yeah, blame and shame.
Benny Ross. He's done it plenty of times. But funnily enough, I just want to say, me and Ben Ross, we're friends now. We see each other all the time. But I never forget, Ben Ross was trying to tell me to go pick up all everybody's jumpers. And I was like, why? We've got somebody that does that. Anyway, he's like, you better go do that or else I'm going to put one on your chin.
What? He said that to you?
Straight up. And you know what I did? I said, okay, let's do it then.
No lies.
I said, let's do it then. And then I walked up to him and just went face to face, and he said, "Oh, well, no, mate. I didn't mean like that. Didn't mean like that."
Wait, let's put a little bit more background into the story. So, how old are you?
So I was 20.
You were 20.
Yeah.
Benny Ross was how old?
I think he was 34 at the time.
34. Benny Ross had played 100, maybe 200.
I think it's like 200 NRL games. Played and for you Australia.
And you played how many games?
I played zero.
And he's trying to put it on you to earn your stripes, and you've just gone chin to chin, said, all right, you're going to put one on my chin, let's have a crack.
Yeah.
What do you? What was your feelings and emotions after that moment?
I think it's the same feeling as Adam Dewey, you know? You're just like, bro, did they try to make me look bad in front of the lads? Yeah, they try to make me look bad. But anyways, you know.
I bet you held on to that and they told the boys, oh, I stepped up to Ben Ross. I stepped up.
Because Ben Ross at the time, he was a big dog. So they're like, fire, man, Toops, you're tough, man. You're so tough. But really, looking back, I'm like, man, what an idiot. So,
oh, well, that's, thank you for sharing that moment. Let's head straight into Roosters versus Tigers. With the Roosters missing a number of Origin stars, I still think they've got a lot to play for in this game, and I think they'll be a threat because, one, it's a double header, so they play straight after the NRLW game where the Roosters take on the Warriors, and the big one, Roosters Old Boys Day.
Ooh.
If there's one team that knows history and knows how to represent their old boys, it is the Roosters, so I know that you know they'll get around that moment, and there's also a player that's on debut, Tom Rodwell. Tigers missing both captains in Jerome Luai and Api Kotosel, but they have an All-Nation back line. Sonia Turuva, he has been named at fullback. The big matchup for me is up front. They'll have the Roosters, Naofahu White and Makaise Makatoa, the Cook Island legend. And that them two will go up against Terrell May and Fanua Pole. I think the battle in the middle will play a big role in whoever wins this match. Quick shout out to Naofahu White, who also signed a 3-year extension. And the battle out wide, I'm looking forward to seeing Mark Nawanganitewase, who seems to be getting better and better at rugby league every week. He'll be going up against Stafford Toa, who's playing well and playing good footy for the Tigers. Being an ex Rooster, I'm going to go the Roosters to win this one and climb that ladder and keep their top 8 spot. What about you, Toops? Who are you going, Tigers or Roosters?
Mate, come on. That's like an easy choice.
No, it's not an easy choice, man.
No Uppy this week. They got no Jerome. And you expect me to say the Tigers. Come on, man. Oh, man. You know, just, hey. All the best. Hey, good luck to the brothers. The Fainu brothers. There you go.
Yep. So he's going the Tigers. another footy news. The Raiders have officially re-signed Tamale Savalio, and he has signed an extension until the end of 2028. And there's some injuries to Christian Tuipulotu. Mm. He is expected to miss 4 weeks due to a hamstring strain. And Sua Fa'alongo, the Melbourne Flyer, he will be out for 8 to 12 weeks. Yeah. Man, that high grade, that hamstring was at the end of the game,
yeah.
That injury, and he made a break. And you just see him grab his hamstring. There was probably like 1 minute left in the match, but unfortunately, he'll be missing 8 to 12 weeks due to that injury. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. The 11th place PNG Hunters are up against the 1st place Blackhawks this weekend. They'll be playing in Port Moresby on Saturday. So best of luck to the PNG Hunters, boys. And in New South Wales Jersey Flag, it's the Battle of the Pacific, where the Cavite Silktails will be going up against the Warriors in New Zealand. Big game ahead. So that's plenty of rugby league, but I know we'll speak more to Salatonga Tuki to cover a little bit more NRIW. Let's head straight over to you, Toops. Rugby Union.
Yeah, over to the Rugby Union. We had the British and Irish Lions tour that's happening around Australia at the moment. British and Irish Lions, they played the Reds on Wednesday night. You'll hear more about that from our man, Tautai Kifu.
Was it a bit of a whitewash?
It was a whitewash. They were in it for the first 20 minutes.
How did our man Jeff Lima go for the Reds?
Oh, Jeffy, you know. Funny enough, that's actually Jeff's second time that he's played the British and Irish Lions tour.
Oh, he's got to play them twice.
Yeah, so the last time he played them was, I think it was 11 years ago when he played for the Hurricanes. So,
when they went to New Zealand.
Yeah, to New Zealand. So I think it was just a good experience for a lot of those young Pacifica players across the board. Obviously, Jeff, he's an out-of-statesman, but you heard guys like Kalani Thomas, Hunter Paisami, and then you had the Siru Uru that came off the bench, but he was on the side of the scrum there. I think when it comes down to these types of games, it's not about the scoreline, T. It's just about the experience and what you can do with that going forward. So nothing worse than playing a team that's triple your salary cap. But yeah, lots of takings from that for the
Reds. Game. Yep. Another news. What else?
Other news. We've got Waratahs taking on the British and Irish Lions tour this weekend. You've got Taniala Tupou, who's making his return to the Waratahs. So big game ahead for them. In the same weekend, you've got the Wallabies. They're playing Fiji up in Newcastle. So it's going to be a good game for the Wallabies to get start their British and Irish Lions tour.
What about the Flying Fijians? How are they looking?
Flying Fijians, they're looking good. They're looking good. They got majority of their players back from the top 14. So the thing that most people don't know is that all their players are basically playing in France at the moment.
Yeah.
But the great thing about playing in France is that they always release their Fijian players. So good luck to them. They got a good first five from New Zealand who plays in their draw. He's going to be a good player to watch. So good luck to our Pacifica brothers playing in the Wallabies versus Fiji. In other news, in terms of international footy, we had Akalitahi. They named their squad to do their tour for 2025. I guess the main notable news around that is the debut of Willis Halaholo, who's making his debut from Wales over to the Akalitahi team. So it's pretty cool to see him come across. Last two news for rugby this week. It's the signing of Waratahs former captain or current player Lalakai Fokiti. He's signed to the Chiefs, which is pretty interesting considering his age, but also the fact that he's played in Australia the last 10 years. So all the best for him when he moves back home because he's from New Zealand, but he is an Australian. And lastly, the All Blacks, they have named their team to play France this week. Two Pacifica brothers that we need to watch out for is Duplessis Karifi and Christian Leowili.
Duplessis, is that a South African name?
So, yeah, pretty, you know, typical Islander. His dad was in South Africa, and he saw that one of his friends was named Duplessis. So he named him after his friend that's so from South Africa.
He's got a South African first name and a Samoan last name.
Samoan last name, and then he's from New Zealand. So all the best to him. Those two as they make their debut. But apart from that, that is the rugby news this week. Make sure you stay tuned to our brother, King Kefu.
Totai Kefu, he'll cover more. But first, let's welcome back our one and only Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, it's time to hear from our New South Wales Origin and NRLW superstar. She is actually on her way to kick off round one on her way to Brisbane to represent the West Tigers. We have the one and only Sala Tongatuki. Sala, welcome back.
Thanks, Dean. Good to be back, as always.
How are you feeling heading into round one?
I'm actually feeling keen. I'm kind of relaxed. I think my mind these last couple of days have just been on my role and my, you know, my little preps and stuff. So I feel ready. I feel good.
Nice. Sala, you're obviously a couple of seasons down now for some of the other players. Is there a lot of nervousness for them? Are they quite, is it quite an overwhelming feeling around the camp for yourself?
With my team, actually, we had 14 new players when I touched on earlier. So there's a fair few debutants and also, like, you know, including the debuts. So, yeah, they're a little nervous. Obviously, because we got the Broncos up and they've always been a team that sets good standards in the NRLW. So I feel like it's good nerves as well from our girls that are about to play this weekend. But I'm excited. They put in the hard work. And literally the progress that what I've heard halfway through, it's like as if that's where the coaches wanted us to be at the end. So to have it, you know, observed halfway through this preseason, it's actually interesting and very positive for us. So it allowed the girls a lot of time to then critique and fix the little things on their game and just team structure and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think the nerves are good nerves. No wrong having nerves, hey?
That's it. And from what you've seen so far at training, who are you looking forward to or who should we keep our eye on in this season for the West Tigers?
I think for me, it's if our halves get the ball out to our edges, Well, I'm excited to see Trins. Tadina, she's come from the Sevens NZ background. NZ. So she's another convert, which is she's just so quick. Like, her footwork, it's second. I've never seen anything like that. Like, I've trained with a couple of girls, you know, good speed and footwork, but man, like, she's very like deceptive. It's like, sometimes I feel fooled, like, just being in the middle, just having a look on the edge. She's probably one for me to look forward to watching this weekend.
Yeah.
And also Jade Fanua. Like, she's actually, she actually had really bad luck in her season with the Eels last year. And we know what it's like with players that, you know, don't get to really complete their season the way they, you know, planned to. And she's really put in the hard work in her off season, having to shift to a new club. She just needed a new environment to, you know, reset herself and have some more belief. So I think, she looks so fit. And I'm keen to see her. She's starting at lock for us.
Yep.
Which I'm excited to play beside. So yeah.
And obviously, look out for yourself packing in at number 8. Looking forward to watching that game, and right in the middle. But you, you mentioned Tirina Te Tamaki coming from rugby union and playing on the wing for yous, and you're looking forward to watching her play. Now, last night we seen the Cronulla Sharks take on the Parramatta Eels. The Eels getting up on this one 18-16. I did quickly speak about the game earlier, but these rugby union players that have come over, the one that stood out last night for me was Martha Mataele, the winger for Parramatta Eels. She was like a female Brian To'o. She was crazy. Was there any players or moments in this game that stood out for you?
She's definitely one of those players for me. She honestly is like, she should just play. She should be starting prop.
That's what my son said. Me and my son were watching. My son's like, why isn't she playing in the middle? She's running like a actuals. She's running like a prop.
No, actuals. Hey, for me last night, think it's River Lialo. Mm-hmm. She played at lock for Eels.
Yep.
She's young. And I did watch her Origin campaign, gun, lock. Like, I think, like, having Kennedy Sherrington, obviously, like, she's out due to injury, but that's very temporary. She's really, like, stepped up. It's not an easy shoe to fill in. And the way she played big minutes, which is really, really impressive. And that was her first game, actually. Welcome to her, to NRW. It's like she's played there before. And Chloe Jackson. Sorry, I know Eels came over the win. But, yeah, CJ, just her line running. And when you have a really good experience, like half, like, Rat, Rachel, like, you know you're going to get a good ball. And all you need to do is just freaking find your player and hit the inside shoulder. And that's your job as back rower. Like, it's so simple and easy. She had a cracker game last night. And I think for Sharks, I don't know. I feel like Nakia coming off the bench for Cronulla.
Yeah.
They changed momentum and brought them back in, like, put some score on the board. Like, you got Philomena. Like, wow. Like, she opened up their scoreboard, like, for them, which was really impressive. Had a 100 over try there. And that's Minna. Like, big, great body frame, like, good size. Like, you're not going to stop that inside the 10-meter line. And then you had Nakia who came off the bench, off the bench as well.
Scored a nice try there too. Some great footwork. She built low to the ground. Speaking of the Parramatta pack though, if you have River Lialo and then Elsie Albert and then you have Kennedy Charrington coming back, that's a pretty solid pack with her sister at hooker. That did look strong. And I thought Anessa Biddle for the Cronulla Sharks, she carried the ball really strong. Unfortunately, she had to come off for an injury at the end of the game, but hopefully it's not a bad one, but she really went forward for the Sharkies as well.
Oh, yeah, I feel like she was that player that put her hand up and just wanted to take those tough carries to get her team on the front foot. In the first half, they just, due to, like, their completions, hey, like, they lacked a bit of discipline there, and that's what kept the Eels in their territory. So, shout out to Nessa, but I wanted to give a shout out to Shay, my little cousin, and Eel. She came off the bench. She debuted, and I've seen her actually try and crack the NRW through different teams. And fitness has always been an issue, which is common in our culture of our players that come through And she's just really made her dreams come true. And it was just nice to see her actually come off the bench for Eels. And I felt like she was a solid impact for them too.
All right, I'm going to give it a crack. So that was Rishe Fa'amausili. Fa'amausili.
Fa'amausili, yeah.
Beautiful. Well done. Looking forward to watching her this season. And, yeah, I thought it was a cracker game to open the NRLW round one. Now, we've also got two teams that are joining this competition. We've got the New Zealand Warriors and the Bulldogs. I know you're going to cover both of these games. Let's start with the Bulldogs versus the Newcastle Knights.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this one. Obviously, Friday Night Lights with the Bulldogs making their NRLW debut against the Knights at a call.
Yeah.
And, like, as someone in a game, you can just feel how much this moment means to the girls in the blue and white. It's history in the making for the club, and, you know, they'll be turning up for it. But from what I saw in their trial against the Eels, the Bulldogs' middle pack is also, like, no joke. They're physical, aggressive, and they lay a solid platform, like, through the middle. You've got Teka, who's actually been appointed captain, who goes by the name, Angelina Tikararanga Katoa. She'll lead from the front, and I feel she'll set that tone with her teammate Tegan Dimmick, who's looking really fit this season. She's come over from the Sharks. So, yeah, I think she normally comes off the bench for the Sharks, but it's nice to see Teague's starting, which is obviously sending a statement for herself. I'm just excited to see how she goes in her first club debut for the Bulldogs. She's just, been building nicely, Teagan, over the years. So, yeah, and I think Alexis Tawaniai, she's another one to watch. She's super fit, powerful, strong ball runner, and she's just real fearless. Like, she's usually a lock or middle, but we're seeing her start on the edge, which is an interesting shift. And I feel like to keep her involved, like, she'll probably need good early ball. And I know with Taylor or Ash feeding her, depending what side she's on, I reckon she'll still find plenty of opportunities to break that line or, who knows, dent it, hopefully. But, yeah, they've also got Taylor Preston. Like, I'm a big fan of Taylor. I feel like she's an underrated player, and you can see her confidence has only probably grown since last season. She'll be key for the Doggies. She's just very calm under pressure, especially in big moments. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Tay. And you got the Knights, who come into this season with a bit of a reshuffle. They've lost some of their key players, but I'm probably saying don't count them out. Bo Vedevelsh, she'll be starting at fullback. And I've played with Bo. She brings plenty of energy and experience. And I know she's very happy where she is, and that's all she needed. Any player needs that. As long as you're happy wherever you are, you know you're going to bring some good footy. And I know Bo's going to do really well there. And you've just got Jesse Salfo and Georgia Roche, who, you know, they bring really exciting attacking shape. So they'll be hard to obviously control with having their back rowers Yasmin Clydesdale and Eva McEwen. So I feel both of those girls are really, they've got really good work rates, and they're just, like, really aggressive on the edges. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting game on that edge battle.
Lots of changes across both teams. Obviously, the Knights and the Bulldogs being a new team. From your perspective, what's the expectation, do you think, for the Bulldogs? Obviously, they're new. Do you expect them to make the finals? Or is it just like, you know, come in to this game, compete as best as you can, hopefully come away with a result?
I don't know. I love it. Honestly, they've got a really strong pack, like I said. And I feel like they've really recruited really well. They've got the right players to come into the NRLW. A lot of, obviously, new faces in there too. But who knows? Like, they're probably feeding off the boys. Energy, like, and where they're sitting on the ladder, and I feel like, yeah, they probably want to go all the way too.
The other thing I noticed, Sala, is they've got another Hupuadi debuting off the bench. Yeah. Another one from the Hupuadi factory.
Off the bench.
Yeah. Did you see her dad's video, her debut video that he sent out the other day?
Sorry, you're talking about Bunny. She is
Bunny.
Her debut for the Bulldogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, for those that haven't seen it, jump online and see John Hawaii's congratulation video. It's pretty crack up.
Did he? Yeah, it's funny, eh? He's always been like that with Punny. And Punny always tells us, like, yeah, that's just tough love. That's what John always says, sir. And I'm like, yeah, it's probably like an Islander thing.
Now, moving on to the next game, we have the Warriors versus the Roosters. I think this is a big game for the Warriors.
It's a big ask.
Yeah, they're going up against the last year's premiers, and
yeah,
it's a big day for the Roosters, actually, because I know it's a double header, so the men's are playing straight after this game. It's also the old boys round for the Roosters, but what an opportunity for the Warriors to, you know, go down there and see what they're made of and welcome back to the NRLW competition. What do you see in this one?
This one's a special one for so many reasons. Mm. I feel like the Warriors are back in the NRLW after a few years away. And what better way to return than running out at Allianz Stadium? So a fun fact is that was actually the first stadium. Sorry, I debuted on for the Roosters. And funny enough, it was against the Warriors. So it's pretty crazy to now see them return to the comp on that same field. And there'll be there's a lot of debuts on both sides, but especially for the Warriors. Like I'm really keen. I know you boys would be too, to see how their squad comes together. It's always tough building combinations early, but I think they've got some serious talent in their squad, and especially from the sevens world. You've got Michaela Blight and Tasha Ekenasio who are making the switch over. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle that transition into the NRW. They're fast, fit, and they know space really well, which could be really dangerous. But I feel like they'll be a good matchup for also the Chookies. And you've got Rima. For me, for the Roosters, you've got Rima Butler, who's one to watch. She's making her club debut, and she'll be starting in the middle with Tessa Bulle. Mm. I know Tessa's probably found her groove in the game. She's a very tough, mobile and hard to handle, like when she gets a good roll on. So if the Warriors don't tighten up around a ruck, obviously they don't have much experience in their middle pack. But those girls can probably do some serious damage. And also shout out, good to see Corbin Baxter back in the side after missing out last year due to injury. Mm. And she's just a massive leader. She adds calm. She's very experienced, for the Roosters back line, which I feel like she'll be a good threat with ball in hand. And then you got you're very strong. Like you got Izzy and Jess Sergis. Obviously, they're a nightmare for defence, but I feel like, those three could be a headache as well, just string them together. And I'm looking forward to seeing a matchup between Olivia Koenig and LaShawn Albert-Jones. Two tough, very skillful players, but I feel like they're very different as well. Like, Koenig's very deceptive of the ball, and LaShawn, she's got a silk way of how she plays. For a big body, she can move, so I wouldn't underestimate that. And then you've got Harata Butler. She's just a big name in the game. I know she's got a lot of experience, and she'll probably have a big job like to do, which, got to use her aggression in the right places and right time, which will be important for the Wires. And, Tanisha Gray, I don't know her that well, but she'll be making her NRLW debut for the Roosters, which is also another player excited to see for the Polynesians. And, just great to have Aaliyah Nasio back in the mix. She's a young, aggressive and player. She brings good intent, but I feel like for me watching her game over the years, she'll just need to stay composed, so that way she can probably stay involved with the footy. And she's just got all the tools, which I feel like she just needs to back herself. I don't know, there's a lot of energy around this game, new faces, old rivals, and just big matchup across the park.
It's a big shift for the Warriors coming up. The other thing I was noticing, Salah, a lot of the girls are pretty young. Is the NRLW getting quite young off the bench? Quite a couple of 19-year-olds making their debuts or playing their first couple of games?
You know what it is? It really speaks volumes on the pathways. Like, the competition's getting so much better, at least for Yolanda Tash Gale, to the point where players are now easily either skipping the development contracts and slotting right into the 24 NRW squad. So I think that's just a statement to the players that have paved the way to make the game what it is today, because they've inspired those players, these young girls, these last 3, 4, 5 years to want to be in this space. Mm. So I think it's pretty cool. Like, there's so many young faces, but also just their generation, it's like, man, it's like the boys now. you know, like you boys would see, like boys in SG Ball, you would think that are probably already built and ready for NRL just because their body, the frames, it's like, I don't know what they're eating, feeding these girls now. But I wish I had that girl. Oh, I stopped growing a while ago. But yeah, these girls, they're just built as if, yeah, they were ready.
Hey, don't talk yourself down. I've seen those traps, Salah. We've seen you squat on that bench rack.
You sound like R2 Fafita now. See?
But, that was bumping me. Hey, we love your work here on Knees and Footy, and we wish you all the best this weekend for your first hit out this year for the West Tigers. I'll let you get back on the road as you're on your way to the airport. All the best. Go get after it, and thank you for your insight for NRLW Round 1.
Thanks, boys.
Well, look, guys, it's Cassie Staples here from the Cronulla Sharks team, and you're listening to Knees and Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Every week on Knees and Footy Fridays, we welcome back in our very own Pacifica rugby legend. He played for the Wallabies 60 times, coached the Akaritahi 7 times, and will lead the Pacifica and Indigenous team against the British and Lions later this year. None other than our very own King Kefu.
King Kefs.
How are you, brother? Welcome back.
Boys. Tupou, man, you're so much better than Wikesy.
I know. I'm the best 18th man in the world, man.
We know that, man. We've got to forget about that bloke, Wikesy. He's always holidaying around the Pacific anyway.
Yeah, I don't know where I'd rather be, here in Sydney where it's freezing cold or over there with him in Palau on the ocean, sun's out, he's drinking coconuts, he's sending some nice food photos. So hopefully he joins us back here on Knees and Footy this weekend.
Yep. So you got me instead, man. But you were saying... Toltai, you went to the British and Irish Lions game the other night. Obviously, they're touring at the moment. I'd love to get your thoughts on the game against the Reds.
Yeah, look, really bloody cold night. I had my Japanese jacket on and a beanie. And what a crowd! What a really good turnout. A lot of British and Irish Lions supporters. I sat next to a couple from Ireland, actually, and they're going to camper van around Australia to watch all the games. I said, oh, well, good luck to them. But, I think with the British and Irish Lions, they're just getting better with each game. Mm. They slowly dismantled the Reds. The Reds did well to hang in there for the first 20 minutes, I thought. They had a couple of opportunities through their set piece. I thought the Reds in their set piece did really well, but you could just tell that the British and Irish Lions were, and the more they play, the better they're going to get. I think the score was at the end was 54 to 12 or something like that, but they're looking really, really sharp. And look, I expect no different tomorrow when they come up against the Waratahs.
Any certain tips as a coach yourself that you would give to the Waratahs after watching that game?
Yeah, bloody good question, Tupou. Like, that's what Joe Schmidt and his selectors and his coaches will be thinking about, how are we going to beat this team. Les Kiss, who coached the Reds team, he's going to go away and coach that Anzac team in a couple of weeks. Now, he's going to have to rethink what the hell he's going to do in terms of a game plan. Look, I think really the more you play footy, I think you've got to hold on to the ball. The more you play footy, I think the better they're going to get. So maybe we go a more direct approach, go from set piece to set piece, slow the game down. One thing for certain, I think that there's an opportunity for teams to play against the British and Irish Lions. Their set piece is, I think there's an opportunity there to dominate the set piece. So if they can get dominance through the line out and maybe mauling and scrum, bloody good platform to winning the game, and maybe being direct, you know, instead of going wide to wide, maybe let's punch through the seams off the line out and maybe pick and go or playing short off that ruck ball. But what you do need, super quick ball. If you're defending the British and Irish Lions, you've got to slow their ball down.
Yeah.
Against the Reds, geez, they found the width quite easily. They got around the Reds quite easily at times, especially towards the end of the game.
With us leagueies, and we probably don't know much about rugby union, and you might have laughed at my comment last week, Tupou, when I asked King Kefs if he ever played the British and Irish Lions. But when they play these teams like the Reds, the Force, and now the Tars tomorrow, are they more just like warm up games for them for the big one against Wallabies or the Big Tribe?
Well, yeah, definitely warm up games. But also, you know, they're sifting through selection.
Yeah, okay.
You know, finding out the best combinations, the best cohesive team. And also, it's a big opportunity for players to put their hand up and put their... Because the most important games, right, are the test matches. They're the ones they want. If they can pick the games they want to win, it'll be the tests.
Yeah, for sure.
But as a group and as a coach and a coaching group, they probably would have had a plan to win every game.
Yep.
Because they can. They've got the players to do so. So they've got an absolute opportunity to win clean sweep. So yep. I reckon that's high on their agenda as well.
And they don't usually lose many games, eh?
No.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They. I mean... I can't remember when the last time they won the so we won in 2001. I don't know how long it was before then that they won their last one against the British and Irish Lions.
True.
Yeah. Hey, just quickly before we move on, with the Waratahs, they've obviously got Janiela Tupou gone back to play the game this week. What would be the benefits of him playing that game rather than saving him for the test?
I think just get
match fitness.
Yeah,
it's been a long, off season.
Me to say it first, or
I think we're both thinking it. Just who was the first to say it?
we were all thinking it. I even think the listeners were thinking it as well. They want to say it. Oh, yeah. Look,
it's just because he's such a high-profile player, right? Like, generally speaking, if you're, you know, one of the top five players in Australia, you kind of just roll back into the team. But, you know, he's obviously got to go back and get fitter.
not only that, you can get fitness away from the games, but just getting some game time in his legs, getting some timing right through scrums and line-outs, and just timing around the field and work rate around the field. I think that's what they, that's what they want from him. Look, you know, he's playing here. I don't think he's gonna. I think he'll come off probably at just after half time or maybe half time. I'd love for him to come and maybe play our game in another couple of weeks if he's not involved with the tests. But look, they'll just. I think he's a week to week thing. If he's right for any of the British and Irish Lions games, they'll throw him in there straight away. But if not, they'll save him until, you know, probably we've still got plenty of rugby after the British and Irish Lions. So, I think they're just trying to get as much game time, get him up to speed in terms of his match fitness and his timings around his set piece. So, yeah, it's probably a week-to-week proposition with Nella.
Yeah, well, all the best to the Waratahs that take on the British and Irish Lions this weekend. Moving on to the All Blacks, Toltai, we've got a couple of Pacifica players making their debut against France this weekend. We've got Christian Leawili and Duplessis Kariffi. That's awesome. How do you think they're going to go?
Yeah, look, Christian Leawili, he's had a fantastic year. Certainly deserves an opportunity. I read somewhere he's a qualified dentist. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. I love that. That's you know, that just goes to show that rugby's still a kind of a hobby for him. But to play for the All Blacks, being selected to run on, that's a fantastic opportunity for him to represent his family and really good work for the good work that he's done. Really good pay for the good work he's done this year. Duplessis, I think, you know, he's probably deserved. There's no one more in Super Rugby. Yeah. Deserves this. You know, I think it's probably come a year or 2 years late. He's been playing some unbelievable footy And look, he'll definitely get some game time off the bench. Great opportunity for both. I'm a big fan of both of them, and they're well deserved.
Hey, speaking of debuts, what was your first cap like for the Wallabies like?
So I came off the bench. I was in South Africa, 1997. And I came on as an inside centre because someone got red carded. We were losing, or we were already down by 20, 25, 26 points. I came on and we lost by 50. I had a massive impact for our team. It was more of an impact for the other team, actually. We were going through some issues at the time with our coaching group and some of the players. I think next year, the year after that debut, I ran on against England at Suncorp and we won that game by 70 points. So a big turnaround, and that's when they reshaped the whole coaching group. And the new coach that came in, Rod McQueen, was awesome and he did a wonderful job. So, they're two memorable, my first cap and my first run on, two memorable games.
Yeah, good.
Man. Ikalitahi just recently named the Tongan team.
Yes.
And I noticed that Ulisi Halaholo, who used to play for the Welsh team, he's, I guess, making his first debut. It just got me thinking, like, do you think making your debut for Wales or making your debut for, I guess, your nation, your hometown nation, what do you think's more important?
Oh, look, I certainly think this debut for the Kalitahi would have so much more meaning for him. You know, especially, you know, his parents are both from Tonga. Mm. I mean, I've watched Halaholo play actually over. We tried to get him when I was playing, but he defected over to Wales at the time. But I think this would be so emotional for him when he runs on and plays for his culture and his heritage. Certainly this would mean a lot more, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. Do you also wish when you're coaching that you got a lot of those guys earlier, like? You know, obviously Charles and Izzy and, you know, Willis now. It must be like, oh, yeah, grateful you're playing, but imagine if I got you in your prime.
It would have meant a whole lot different. But, I mean, we touched on this last week, you know, if players had a choice of playing for the All Blacks or the Wallabies compared to Samoa or Tonga, you've got to take the tier one option. Not only financially is a lot better, but they're big iconic teams, right? Like the All Blacks, and that spills on to, you know, if you go overseas, you know, you played for the All Black, that adds extra zeros on you.
I don't think it's there is a chance there to make that movement, just like the league did. But all it takes is some of those bigger names to make the shift, and then all of a sudden, I've seen the impact of what, you know, Andrew Fifita, Jason Domololo, when they made that shift from, you know, representing Australia and New Zealand to representing Tonga Rugby League. Now we've seen all the kids that are coming through the ranks to play NRL. They don't want to play for Australia. They're choosing to go play for Tonga first because of what, you know, them players have done. I think it would take just a couple of those big name players to shift over, similar to how Artie done for Moana Pacifica, to then now inspire the next generation to follow their footsteps.
Yeah, and a really good example for us was Ben Tamafuna, right? He was earning money overseas, and he moved overseas quite early. I think it was 21 or 22. And he signed for big money then, and so playing for Tonga, financially it didn't bother him because he was earning such good money overseas. So, but he was one good example for us that brought over a lot of players to come and play for Tonga.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about Ben. I mean, the team was named the other day. He's the third name on the list.
Yeah.
He's always putting up his hand, always giving back to the nation of Tonga. So it's good to see that there's more players that are coming back. Yeah. So
He's always got his hand up. When I was coaching, always had his hand up, first one picked. And the thing was, when he came into camp, he would actually lose money for the whole tour. Always putting his hand in his pocket.
Oh, that's right. He's got plenty of cash there. He's got plenty of cash. Last question before you leave. You're obviously coaching the Pacifica and Indigenous team that's going to take on the British and Irish Lions tour. Can you give us any inside scoop? Who you going after? Any last minute players
that
you're looking?
We ask them every week.
Oh, really? Yeah, I know. But every week there's a new name that's come out. I saw a couple more names announced.
Yeah, we've got a couple more names announced, and we're going to have some players drop down from the Wallaby squad. So, look, I'm hoping Tupo comes back to us if he's not playing Test match rugby.
Oh, extra match fitness will help.
I think Paisami, who played for the Reds the other night, I think he'll end up playing for us. Dylan Peach, who played for the Force and played really, really well, if he's not playing for the Wallabies, he might end up playing for us as well. So tomorrow night, Charlie Gambles and Rob Leota, who are involved with our squad, so they're going to... They'll play for us. That's been confirmed as well.
Oh, Rob Leota. Let's go.
Thanks, King Giffrey, for your time. It's always good to get your insight, brother.
Love it always, boys.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, this is our knockout tipping competition where we can only pick one team each week until we pick the rest of the teams. The score is Sam or Toops. User guys are on 20, I'm on 19. And the loser of this competition has to actually buy the winner a jersey of their choice. Or any good jerseys that you like?
Oh, the retro Moana jerseys, they were gone.
Retro Moana?
See, I think they were throwback, but they look retro.
I'm thinking retro Highlanders.
Ooh.
I'm liking that old memory. The old
yellow, the yellow, squares.
The blue, the maroon. Tame Randall just brings you back to those
Jeff
days.
Jeff Wilson.
Anton Oliver. Name them all. Well, let's get straight into it. In rugby league, I can only pick the Roosters, so I'll be going the Roosters. And you can actually only pick the Knights, but they have a bye. Was it the Knights? Yeah, it was the Knights. But they have a bye, so you can go the other team. The Roosters are playing Tigers because you go for the brothers. What are you laughing? Wow, oi, there are chance.
Bro, okay. You want me to go for the Tigers when half the team is out?
And then because the international games are on, do you actually want to go the Wallabies versus Fiji, or do you want to go NRLW?
No, go Wallabies versus Fiji.
All right, yep. So you're going Fiji?
Yeah, I'm going Fiji.
Are you going Fiji?
I actually go Fiji. Yeah, could be an upset.
Ooh, okay, yep. I'll go the Wallabies.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. All the best to those teams playing, and man, if I get 2 from 2 here, Sammy's not going to be happy. But that's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Nijin Footy. And a big thank you to my cuz, Tupo Sopawanga, once again stepping in as the best 18th man in the world.
Mate Ducky, thank you.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.